what happens when you should be at the stage of life where you relax and enjoy it, but you just can't shake the feeling that everything you've built is about to come crashing down. Because that's today's letter writer. They've worked hard, they've invested, and now have a net worth of over $5 million. But still, they can't stop to savor it. They've had hard times with money in the past, particularly from childhood, and that's something that's hard to shake. There's a temptation to enjoy some of the finer things in life, but whenever they think that maybe it's time to splash out, they tell themselves that Kmart clothes and secondhand cars means they can keep investing and build even more. But what's the point of building all this if you never stop to smell the roses? How do you go from building wealth to actually living with it? Well, welcome to Ask the Experts, where each week we take your questions, drag in an expert from inside the money world so they can give you the answers that you need. Making Sense has partnered up with Enable Me to get you the strategies for reaching financial freedom faster. Head to their website to learn more. Visit enable.me today. All right, we've got the lovely Katie Wisney back in the hot seat for Enable Me. Are you ready?
So ready.
Okay, here we go. Hi, Frances. I've been a long time listener to your podcast, and this morning I listened to another, thought I had to write in. I'm in my late 40s, moved to New Zealand about 35 years ago, from what is often considered a third world country. I have an interesting dilemma that I think would make for a good episode. I worked very hard as a teen and young adult to get into a well-paying industry. I also happened to start investing at the age of 23, when I first read the Rich Dad, Poor Dad books. I have a theory that the reason I got into investment was because I did not want to be in the situation that we were in when we migrated to New Zealand. It was a tough 5 to 10 years as we came with very little money, and the money we did come with was nicely squandered by a close family friend. Fast forward 20 years, a lot of corporate grinding, being a cash-strapped landlord, lots of renovations, sweat and tears. We are in a very fortunate position of having a portfolio of over $5 million in investments and net worth well in excess of that. I have been able to coast fire since I was in my mid-30s because of this. However, cash flow is not quite where it should be, as we are heavily invested in real estate, which is something I'm in the process of changing. Now the dilemma. On paper, we look like we are in the higher end of the top 5% of net worth in New Zealand. So in theory, we should be living the high life, driving flash cars, wearing designer clothes, and going overseas regularly. In reality, we don't have any extravagance in our lifestyle at all. My clothes are mainly from Kmart, or on occasion from a sale at a better joint. Cars are all secondhand, around $20,000 max. We go out occasionally, we don't drink, don't smoke. I've not been overseas for around 6 years, and we don't have any other expensive hobbies. Debt-wise, we have a small amount of our net worth in mortgages over rental property, no ridiculous consumer debt at all. In my mind, as cash flow is not great, I don't spend much. Because of the PTSD of coming to New Zealand and not having much money, I always have that fear that we will run out of money and not be able to meet commitments. Some would say I'm a Scrooge McDuck, but I just can't get myself to spend a lot of money without feeling like that money could be better utilized or invested. Am I a case for psychiatric evaluation? I love that sign off.
So good.
I love everything about this letter. I actually think a lot more people struggle with this than you would think. Have you had people come into your office like this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because it's a different mentality.
So someone comes in, where would you start with them?
I think it's giving them a really good understanding of their numbers. What do you need to be spending to live a happy life? And then we're modeling out, well, based on your asset position, when will your money run out, if at all? And that is really comforting in terms of not modeling some hypothetical numbers. It's, well, what is your number and where are you going to land? And I think they've done exceptionally well in terms of where they're at. But again, just a different mindset going forward. And you've got to have a plan and you have to understand your numbers.
Yeah, I think that's really smart. It's like, let's get this into reality, first of all, which is often something that I can sometimes, you know, life is so busy, you get caught up with just getting through the day to day. To sit down and actually take a hard look at your numbers, what's coming in, what's going out, what are we good on, how long can things last? is actually very comforting, whether or not it's what you expected. Just having it in front of you, I think, grounds you a little.
It really does. And that is a universal problem with all of my savers. You need to give them permission to spend money up to a point, knowing they're going to be okay going forward. Really important.
One thing I found interesting, though, right? When he was talking about we should have flash cars, we should have nice clothes, we should be going on holidays, I kind of read that and I'm like, heck, if you want to, let's make it happen. But like the idea of should, like, do you even want that, right?
So true, because just in the framing of the letter, it feels like he's got a picture of wealth in his head. But actually, when I'm listening, I don't think any of those things potentially will make him happy. What he's after is permission to live the life that he wants. That is what he's after. And those, I'm pretty sure, those flash cars is not the thing that is going to make him happy. And that's what he's got to figure out.
It's so true, right? I think taking the moment to be like, hang on, you know, if a status symbol makes you happy and you can afford it, I have no problem with it. But I think a lot of people actually, maybe that isn't what would make them happy. Like, I think about myself, right? And I say this as someone who loves Formula One, right? Love watching cars go vroom around the track. The idea of making a car go vroom myself on my daily commute or whatever, it's not even that I think there are better things to put my money on. It's that it genuinely just leaves me cold. That if my car is reliable and good and hits what I need it to hit, that's actually, I have no emotional connection to it. Now, do I have an emotional connection to the perfect pair of jeans that makes my butt look amazing?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Will I spend far more on those? Absolutely. Yeah. But like, one is a status symbol, I guess, that I would genuinely enjoy. And one is another one that would be totally a waste of money to me.
I really challenge those status symbols. They are not a reflection of wealth. In my experience, the most flashy people sometimes have the least amount of money when you scratch the surface. So I think it's challenging that. Absolutely. And really understanding, well, what does make you happy, and giving yourself permission to spend money on those things. And often it's having really rich conversations. And with my savers, we dig a little deeper. So I might ask, you know, what makes you happy? And they might say, well, I'd really love to travel. That's such a surface answer. You would love to travel. I would love to travel. Who are we taking? When are we going? How much is it going to cost us? Let's overlay that in our plan and make it happen. Otherwise, it just won't. There will always be an excuse to not do something unless you put it in the plan and make it super specific.
Yes. And digging into, I love what you say, who are we taking? Because you're digging into what actually makes this stuff fun. Like, what are your values? What do you enjoy in your life now? And in what ways can you use your money to amplify that?
Absolutely.
Right?
And acknowledging that everyone is different. What makes you happy and me happy are different. Probably lately quite similar, but different, you know. So again, it's understanding that and giving yourself permission, because this always is about, how do I live my best life? That's what we're trying to facilitate for every listener, for every client I work with. What is your version of a best life? Let's understand it. Let's put a number around it. And that is the goal we're trying to facilitate. Not in this mythical future, is actually now, because quite often that's the rub of being able to stick to a plan, is that you're happy now and you're not in that deprived state for too long, because that's harder to sustain infinitely.
Not so fun fact. When you take on a 30-year mortgage, you'll probably pay more than double what you originally borrowed because of the cost of interest. That's probably not the Kiwi dream you bought into. The team at Enable Me specialize in taking charge of your money and growing your wealth, including how to get rid of your mortgage faster. Book a consultation with an Enable Me financial advisor today by visiting enable.me. And I think when he was talking about as well, the experiences he had as a child.
Oh, yes.
With that sort of impacting how he feels about things. And I pick up on, this is me reading into his letter, I pick up on a need for stability and security from those childhood experiences.
Absolutely.
How would you help them shape their money to hit that need?
I think lots of people relate to, you know, my parents were maybe questionable about money. You know, we all have our own money stories.
Everyone has baggage.
We do. But in this story, I think it's visceral in terms of lack of safety around money. And
it being a friend. Something happened and went wrong with a friend.
There's a trust piece. But I think a lens where it all could be taken away at any moment. And I think having a good plan, ensuring that your assets are well diversified, which feels like he's trying to course correct on, because I think that is actually feeding into, you know, you've got this great asset position, but it feels like it's too much weighted in property at the moment, and there are cash flow issues. So again, it's getting that well calibrated in terms of a mix of property and non-property assets, which is going to introduce more liquidity, which again, cash flow helps you feel better and braver to do things as well. And again, understanding how that asset mix serves you is really vital. And again, just layering that into your plan so you have that holiday booked in the next 6 months and you understand where that's coming from in terms of cash flow.
Yeah. When you're talking to people about this, how do you help them balance things like those past experiences and also finding what really lights them up? I imagine it's somewhat almost a bit of a therapy session.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think acknowledging success, because often we just go, keep going. And we take stock, celebrate what's happened, and then understand, well, what is the strategy and what do we want for ourselves going forward? And again, drilling into those non-negotiable costs that we need to embed into your numbers going forward, knowing that if you spend up to X, your money's going to last for Y. That is really important and tangible in terms of painting the life that you want. And then you go and live it, and you ensure that you embed feedback loops in terms of what happens. So often it's around tracking spend, which feels so elementary. But again, I can spend up to this amount, and if I'm within that band, I'm okay. That's helping, giving you confidence that that scarcity piece isn't going to happen. Again, being really directive in terms of bank account structure. So again, you are in control, you're being purposeful, and you're embedding these really good feedback loops in terms of structure that are seeding, I'm okay. And that's really important.
I love that. I really love that. In terms of how much you can spend, I know, and this is always going to be a sort of general rule of thumb. If someone comes in and has an actual consult, it will of course be more personalized. But there is things like the 4% rule, where they say, this is often for people who've invested in the share market, they say you can spend about 4% per year because the share market grows by an average of more than that, take out taxes, fees, whatever. 4% is usually what you could spend forever. Then others say that's even actually too conservative and you could spend more than that. Do you have a thought in terms of a general rule of thumb?
Yeah, for my clients, we're quite granular because, again, everyone is different. And we base it off, well, what do you want to do? What are you doing now? What do you want to do? Cash in, cash out, what's left over? That kind of cost load, I need to ensure that they can facilitate it now and into the future. We figure out the assets that they have and we divide it by when they retire and how long that's going to last. Pretty simple, but you can also quickly see if there's going to be a problem, and then we course correct in terms of strategy.
Okay, this person walks into your office, unload on you in the form of that letter. First of all, are they a case for psychiatric evaluation?
Absolutely not. They are so normal, because there's a lot of psychology around all of this as well. And I actually think my message to them would be, you have done an extraordinary thing. You have come here with nothing and you have built something that lots of people never will. And that lack and that scarcity that has driven you has served you. It has, and you've done really well. But that is not true now in terms of threat, and it's time to reset.
I love that. That makes me want to like have a hug with you and whoever this person is. You know, it came through anonymously, but I just want to give them a hug. I want you to give them a hug.
I want to hug them too, yeah. But you just have to acknowledge and sit back and you think, wow, that is extraordinary. This is your time to live your best life.
Yeah. They've worked so hard. They have and like you say, so built hard. It from nothing.
Yeah. And I hope it inspires people as well, because I see these types of people every day. It can be done. Hard work, sacrifice, but ensuring you get that balance back. So important.
100%. Love that. What a beautiful note to leave it on. Thank you so much, Katie Wesney from Enable Me. Now, if this was helpful to you, or if you were ever wondering that you might be a case for psychiatric evaluation as well, we will look after you and reassure you. You can send us your questions and we'll deep dive into it. ask@franciscook.co.nz. Until next time, have a great day. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most situations. It's not individual financial advice. If you're after that, a financial advisor is always the best bet.